This is Briar Clough, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. MR Consulting owner Mark Ramsey says farmers are rolling in the northeast North Dakota area. This area is getting some very light rain today.
Yeah, we are. It seems like there's been a little streak that's come through this Bathgate area. I'm sure it's not going to amount to much, so we sure hope we get a little bit more out of the next one that comes through, because we are dry. They've been in a little bit. Every day somebody new starts, and really all they're doing now is seeding wheat.
Ramsey says Ramsey expects farmers to wait until the end of the week before planting sugar beets.
Yes, I think so. Towards the 25th, 22nd, let this cold snap come here through the weekend. When it's going to be that cold at night, the ground's just not warming up. So let it warm up and then put them in. Let's hope we get this shower rain and then move forward from here.
Planting off to a fast start in northeastern North Dakota and northwest Minnesota as farmers try to beat the rain. CHS Ag Services agronomy manager Chris Colstow, who's based at Warren, Minnesota, has the update.
Yeah, we've had a lot of wheat and some sugar beets start going in the ground last week, and up and down the valley it's been going really strong since probably midweek last week, and looks like we'll go hard until we get rain. Otherwise, we've had a lot of progress.
For the most part, soil conditions are good.
It seems like the heavy ground hasn't been any frost issues, but things are going well there. As we go east and to the west, things are a little slower, and I think we're getting some frost coming out of the light soils, and actually probably getting wetter before they're getting drier, but all in all, up and down the valley where it's been going, its field conditions been really good.
Midway through Argentina's corn and soybean harvest, and soybean and corn advisor agronomist Michael Cordonier says things are looking good despite some setbacks.
CONAB, they did trim the soybeans a little bit, 0.3 million tons to 146.5, but they did take a big bite out of the corn. They lowered it 1.8 million to 111 million tons. And for the corn, it all came from the safrinha crop. They lowered the yield about 2 bushels per acre. I would say 30 to 40% of the safrinha corn in the southern areas need rain. They've gotten a little bit, they need a lot more, so that's going to be an ongoing concern, I think, for the safrinha crop in Brazil. The soybeans are about 85% harvested, so we're getting pretty close to being done.
South America's harvest predictions are varying greatly from those out of USDA.
USDA has much higher estimates than CONAB in Brazil. I guess USDA has a bigger acreage than CONAB does for soybeans and for corn in Brazil, which is kind of a dilemma. They both say they use satellite technology to estimate the acreage, and people on the ground, especially for CONAB, to estimate the acreage, but the acreage numbers are way different, so I'm not quite sure who to believe.
Acres and Shares is reporting 19 shares of American Crystal sugar beet stock sold at $6,000 per share during the week ending April 12th. So far this trading season, 4,589 shares have sold at an average price of $5,340 per share. April 29th is the new partnership deadline, and May 9th is the transfer deadline for American Crystal Company beet stock.
Lowen and Associates market analyst Matt Hines says traders are taking risk premium out of the grains.
Yeah, I think the markets are still kind of waiting to see what this weather shakes out here for the last half of April. There hasn't been a whole lot of new news specific to the grains. There's enough on the geopolitical side, but, grain specific, there just hasn't been much once we got the USDA report last Thursday.
EverAg market analyst Cole Adams says the livestock markets are adding some premium risk.
Yeah, so a little bit of a recovery following last week Friday's news. So turns into one of those when there's no news hitting the market, they start to buy back into it. And I think you're seeing a little bit of that here today. We gapped open on the day, $2 to start, and we've been trading higher ever since, right around that $3 to $4 range on both live and feeders.
K-Rose company owner Caroline Rose Bohannon says seed stock sales have seen higher averages this year. April sales have cooled off some, but there is also a shift in what buyers are looking for.
We've seen a ton of demand, you know, averages higher than we've ever seen them before, people not having enough bulls for their customers. And then we kind of got into April and we got a little bit weaker in these sales. And it's something that I'm really studying and trying to figure out so I can, you know, find the correlation to talk to customers about. But we have seen a few different trends this year. I have seen a much lower demand in heifer bulls. I am not hearing auctioneers say this is a sleep all night bull, you know, they'll come shooting out. I'm not hearing a lot of that language, and I think primarily because a lot of people sold heifers.
There are not a lot of heifers to breed this year. Bohannon says commercial bulls are also selling at higher prices, and ranchers are taking advantage of cull prices to bring in new genetics.
I think the average is probably going to come off as Angus bulls averaged in the six, maybe even a little higher. I think that's a tremendous average for what we're seeing. The bulls are leading us to believe there will be a high calf crop price this fall, but we have gotten a little softer. And so I'm interested to see what happens as we continue through April and into May. I know that the cull bull market, geez, I sold some cull bulls for more than I used to sell regular bulls for. And so I think a lot of people are, you know, cashing in on that, taking some older bulls to town, getting some new stock, and just preparing for having a really good calf price this fall.
Bovine influenza A recently reported in three more Michigan dairy herds, bringing the total number of detections to four herds. The first case was reported March 29th, making Michigan the third state to report the spread of avian flu to cows. Since then, a total of eight states have reported positive cases of HPAI in dairy cattle, with no reports of the disease spreading to beef cattle. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Farm Credit Administration Senior Credit Risk Specialist Scott Donnelly says that lifestyle adjustments for farmers should be considered in the current economic climate.
This income adjustment, net farm income adjustment, is going to take a lifestyle adjustment for some folks. And if they're not willing to make that adjustment, it could certainly spiral into a real big concern in certain instances. So as far as risk management from the lender and the borrower side, I would agree that you know, there's more products available and more tools available, and the lenders are asking their borrowers to use those tools available so that they are protecting themselves from downside risk.
According to Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City Associate Economist Ty Kreitman, off-farm income might be another area for farmers to focus on.
But unlike, you know, the general U.S. household, farm incomes have actually gone in the opposite direction as wages for the broader economy. So I think we're sort of entering this environment where there's inflationary pressures, but downward pressure on income. And so I think that could be challenging. I think, you know, some people may remember in that prolonged downturn that we were in 2015 to 2019, we were talking a lot about the importance of off-farm income. And so I think, you know, I don't think it'll be any different this time. I think that'll be very important when we consider sort of the cost of living for households.
South Dakota FFA Association Executive Director Jerry Idy shares a preview of what's to come at this year's state convention.
Students will be competing in different career development events like food science and technology, nursery landscape, livestock judging, dairy cattle judging, dairy foods judging. We also have a day of service where students will be packaging 50,000 meals for Feeding South Dakota. We have workshops that are put on by industry leaders coming in to share valuable information with students. And we also have a career carnival where we have 58 industries, colleges that come in to engage and network with our students, give them the chance to brand their industries and the students' opportunity to learn and grow about what's going on in agriculture.
Students that participate in FFA gain exposure to many of the aspects involved in the ag industry. And Idy says that the state convention is the culmination of all the training and hard work that goes into that.
It's a great experience for 2,000 of South Dakota's youth to connect with industry, network with each other, be recognized for their outstanding successes throughout the year by receiving their state FFA degree, being recognized STARS in our STARS pageant, the top state degree recipients in their projects, proficiency awards, agri-science, and then the career development events that they're competing in on the SDSU campus during convention. And then, of course, the highlight is election of the new state officer team that will serve the organization for the coming year. So there's a lot packed into 2.5 days.
Addie Womack is the new Livestock Production and Stewardship Specialist for South Dakota State University Extension. Womack will oversee the state's Beef Quality Assurance Program. Womack, who is an Arkansas native, will be based at Mitchell.
A bipartisan group of senators has called on the Environmental Protection Agency to allow the sale of E15 fuel during the summer driving season. Similar waivers were granted in the past 2 years. The lawmakers signing this letter included both senators from Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota.
Oil prices have come down with the market settling down after Iran's weekend attack on Israel. The attack was extensive, but only resulted in minimal damage. Uncertainty in the Middle East will continue to be something to monitor in the energy markets. However, industry analysts indicate OPEC currently has more than 4 million barrels per day in spare capacity.
In conjunction with the Japanese Prime Minister's visit to the United States, a bipartisan group of lawmakers renewed the call for Japan to open its market to fresh U.S. potatoes. Japan has blocked market access for U.S. fresh potatoes for nearly 30 years. Lawmakers said there's no valid phytosanitary justification for this issue for table stock potatoes.
A Meeker County turkey flock is the first commercial poultry operation in Minnesota to be confirmed with highly pathogenic avian influenza in 2024. This farm had 70,000 birds. In the past 2 years, Minnesota has lost more commercial poultry flocks to HPAI than any other state. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Any moisture that falls should soak into the ground nicely, according to NDON Director Daryl Richeson.
Because although there's still frost in the ground, it's generally, if you look at the profile, you know, it's down there that any rainfall is still going to soak in, because most of the top, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches is frost-free. It might freeze up a little bit at nights, but for the most part, that layer is now frost-free. Usually the last layer that tends to hang on to frost the longest, it varies, of course, year to year with the soil. There's so many variables going on. But it's usually that, let's say, 18 to 24 inch. It kind of will release underneath that, release top down, and that's usually the last layer.
Another rain event is possible this week.
It should soak in pretty well. And the areas that picked up an inch, say in the southern Red River Valley, that's where there might be some ponding and such. But the positive for the southern Red River Valley, that probably doesn't really want any moisture at this point, this weekend we will see a lot of evaporation taking place. So a lot of the rain from last system could evaporate off that top 2 or 3 inches. That will give some room for the next system that's coming in early next week.
Minneapolis May wheat down 5 cents at 6.37¾. September 5 cents lower as well at 6.54. Chicago wheat 4 lower at 5.52. Kansas City down 4¾ at 5.85. May corn futures 3¼ cents lower at 4.32. July corn 2¾ lower at 4.44½. December corn down 2½ at 4.69½. Soybeans, May futures 14½ lower at 11.59½. August soybeans 12½ lower at 11.72. November soybeans 9¼ lower at 11.67. Soybean meal down 6 cents a metric ton at 3.38.40. Canola in Winnipeg $11.30 a metric ton lower at 6.23.40 Canadian. Live cattle, April futures $1.10 higher at 1.80, and June live cattle $1.97 higher at 1.73.50. August live cattle $2.12 higher at 1.70.87. April feeder cattle $1.45 higher at 2.39.05. April lean hogs 57 cents lower at 90.87. This is the Red River Farm Network.